The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Folks, we say welcome to a new day, new week. Monday, it's your lunchtime doctor. And of course, we're here. Hi to all those of you all enjoying the cricket. And to all the men, of course, happy Father's Day yesterday for all those of you all who are fathers and celebrated it yesterday. Today, very interesting topic. We continue with men's health. Of course, this month is Men's Mental Health Month. So, of course, we know Dr. Brittany Dean is out, so we have Dr. Taylor standing in. Good day, Dr. Taylor. How are you?
Hello, hello, Bass. How are you going?
Good, man. Good, 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 good. What's going on?
Well, you know, today is a very exciting day because this is Men's Health Month and Mental Health Month as well, too, for men. So, you know, it's something that we don't get to talk about much, and we have a very special guest with us called Mr. Garth Voisier, and he is a very influential person when it comes to men's health as well as fitness and other health related issues. So welcome, Garth.
Thank you very much for the invite.
Thanks for being here.
Hi, welcome, Garth. I know your face on some, I don't know if it's from the gym or something,
probably. Maybe a magazine. Okay.
Yeah, it could be. We had some stuff a while ago, you know, been in the game for a long time, so
yeah, man. All right, pleasure. So we're talking men's health today. Mm-hmm. All right, so we dive into it.
Yeah, so let's start in terms of men's health. Let's look at some of the issues that men deal with and maybe are under-recognized in our population. So one of the things is mental health, you know, at the most basic level. Now, when we're looking at mental health, what do you think are some of the key points that men should be aware of and that men should, you know, look at getting more information on as well as help?
Yeah, I think one of the things too, you have to kind of, I think I was talking about this the other day in terms of looking at the foundation of everything, right? The culture itself. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things men have to be okay with is not being okay. Yeah. You know, if we look at the way how we're brought up in this society here, home, it's kind of like, you know, like deal with it, the whole man up thing, mm-hmm. you know. So right now, most of the conversation has been where we kind of want people to understand that it is okay to not be okay. Right. And it's also okay to seek health, mental health, yeah. Help from therapists and stuff like that. Long time we used to have that one person in the community that was the role model or the go-to right. person. Yeah. I think we kind of shy away from that now where we don't have much of those.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true. And listeners, remember you can call in, and the numbers are.
Okay, well, today we're doing strictly the WhatsApp today because we're in a different studio.
Right.
So the WhatsApp today 3061065 1, and of course, you could feel free to message a Sangeet or Sky 99.5, and they will send your messages right to us today in studio.
Yeah. So you know, when we're looking at mental health. Let's talk a little bit about the complications. Now, you know, one of the reasons why this is so important is that, let's look at the most extreme, for example, suicide,
mm-hmm.
right? Men are almost four times as likely to commit suicide as pertaining to a woman, right? And there are multiple reasons for this, but one of the reasons is that men are more determined in the sense of once they attempt, they succeed. Whereas a woman, most times it is a cry for help. So, you know, they're trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
For a man, well, the fact that he has tried means he has already went through everything in terms of trying to get attention, and his cries or his pleas were not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that is the end result. So I think that one of the things is men may not seek help as much as women.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and that's a good point too. And you have to look at the society, right, that we're in. And not just here, but in general, like you said, you're more determined to get things accomplished and all that stuff. You know, we don't want to get too much backlash from the ladies with that either. Yeah. What I would say is a lot of the upbringing of how we've had examples, and normally with men in general, we repeat that process.
Yeah.
And the process is the one of stay silent, work hard, yeah. provide, do those type of things. And now in a society where you kind of have to do that and more, mm-hmm. it is a big factor. And then on top of that, the catalyst now would be, hey, if you're dealing with it and you could talk to people about it, it might help.
Right.
But if you already have that in there where you're not talking to people about the situations or the frustrations or distress, it becomes more of a burden and a heavier load to carry.
Do you think that if men try to seek help, they feel like they are weak?
Well, that's the easiest question and answer you could think about. You know that's a less than thing if it is you seem to cry out for help. You know, we always say big boys don't cry.
Yeah.
So the idea of seeking help in public is one that people are not too open to. Maybe as yet, I think it's building slowly. So I want to kind of say that we have progression.
Yeah.
I think, and that's why you have more programs like this that talk about reaching out to men where it's okay to not be okay, reach out for therapy and get help. But not just that, I think one of the main things that we try to do now, and I'm glad that we're doing it now together, is creating a better environment.
Yeah.
Creating a safe environment for men is not a gender thing. It can't be a gender thing. It has to be, hey, men need a safe environment to talk about stuff, but you also have to be open to listen.
Yeah, but men usually think, you know, reaching out and talking out and therapy is being considered weak.
Yeah.
You're a weak man. You know, we're supposed to be macho. We're supposed to suck it up. Don't cry.
Right. Yeah, man up.
Man up, exactly, yeah. Exactly, man up. But that's something that we need to change. Why is it that men are so reluctant to talk, to let it out? Because, you know, you go by your partner, let's say there's an infidelity issue, you know, you feel like you'll get laughed at, you know, maybe there's an abuse of your wife beating your woman, beating you, or something, you'll get laughed at, that kind of thing. Men are just reluctant to speak out.
Well, one of the biggest things on men, if you think about it, would be things you can't see, which is the ego. So you're looking at the ego. It's one thing that'll keep you back from saying certain things, even with failures. You know, if we have a failure, we don't really talk about it, but we could broadcast every single win. So a part of it is just the ego part of it. I think a lot of it too comes from the environment. And we had talked about going to the doctor as part of it. You know, how many men in your family do you know that are constantly at the doctor making sure they take care of themselves? That too could have been looked at in a way of less than or weak. You know, like, hey, you don't need to go to no doctor. Yeah, man, you know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that's where now you have this environment, we're trying to change that. And I think a lot of times, you have a lot of times, I will say this, a lot of men don't rally behind men.
Right.
So this is the opportunity for us to start something different.
And how does age impact men's health, and what preventative measures can men take as they age?
Great question, boy.
Yeah, you know, so as men age, they actually become more susceptible to common diseases. We're looking at heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, as well as prostate cancer. And the whole thing is that a lot of these conditions are largely generally preventable, right? Now, for example, the screening for the prostate cancer, we can work on that. The heart disease, all these disorders. Essentially, if you practice preventative strategies and basically the lifestyle modification, your diet and your exercise, these things can be prevented and delayed. So that's why it's so important to, you know, make sure you seek help earlier rather than later.
Yeah, it come like fitness-wise, you know, like we've been in that fitness industry for a long time, and a long time of doing it and continue to prepare and get the body in the right space. When you get older now, you might have to train a little bit smarter and harder.
True.
However, it's easier to maintain that than to go now into the gym at 35, 40 and say, hey, I want to lose all this weight. Because one, mentally, that challenge alone mentally is what's going to make you either not go or decide to feel defeated and just give up.
Yeah. And how do you think that physical health affects mental health?
I think we could come back down to the look good, feel good thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you think about a lot of times, you know, and it's not vanity, it's not being vain, it's not being, you know, the common word thrown around, narcissistic. It's not. It's just that if you feel good and you look good, then a lot of things are more clear.
Yeah.
You know, fitness, I can talk about it for me, and I know we've been in on that industry together for a while.
Yeah.
I think fitness has been a mental release for a lot of people. The frustrations, when you get in the gym, you know, you hit the weights, you come out, you feel good.
It's true. And you know, generally everyone needs that to be able to manage stress or cope with stress. There are many different things one can do, but you know, the gym, you know, or exercise, that is actually one of the easiest things that you can do to, you know, relieve that stress, both acutely in the short term and in the long term.
Yeah, what about having like a hobby or something? I mean, you know.
Well, we live in Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, look at how many places we could go hiking, take a walk, you know what I mean? And this is one of the things, too, I was talking about to one of my nieces and the other day. It's like, we have everything in front of us. We have it here. Why not utilize what we have? You know, like those things, like going to the beach, like even things that we used to go. I mean, I can't tell you last time I hear somebody say they climb a mango tree.
Yeah, that means mango season too.
What?
What are some of the key factors contributing to maintaining a good mental health for men? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that as far as I'm concerned, one of the most potent things one can do is exercise, right? And aside from the aesthetic component, we look at the physiology. So when you exercise, you actually release the so-called feel-good hormones. And this can actually put you in a better state, right? Just the exercise alone. There actually are studies that show that it can be equivalent to taking certain antidepressant medication, right? They studied over a 6 months period. It's shown that exercise alone can actually have similar impact and effect as taking certain antidepressant medication. That is why I say that is one of the most powerful things that you can do in terms of your mental health. There are many other things you can do. You know, we have things like cognitive behavioral therapy, seeing a therapist, a psychologist. You know, these are things that you can do. Have a support group, right? And there are many different things and other coping mechanisms, but as far as I'm concerned, exercise fitness is most useful.
Yeah, fitness too is one of those things where we talked about this earlier, where you said in terms of men are more determined, right, to accomplish or to achieve. Going to the gym and seeing results. So mentally, that helps you to keep pushing forward as well too, because now you want to go on to the next thing. So if you're one of those people who like to set off for success and accomplish different things, the gym is also one of those places where that same idea can happen in the gym and also mentally help relieve that stress that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
And the whole thing too is that even the exercise now, that can increase your testosterone, right? And we know what testosterone does, right? It makes you want to achieve goals. You know, you get that drive. That is the whole purpose of testosterone, you know. You want to get something more. You want to achieve something more. And all that can even benefit your mental health as well, too.
Agreed.
All right, so we need to take a break, fellas, and we'll be right back. Of course, we're discussing men's health today on The Lunchtime Doctor. I discovered a secret to healthy, hydrated skin with CeraVe. Of course, developed by dermatologist, CeraVe's unique formula is infused with essential ceramides and hyaluronic acids to restore your skin's natural barrier, right? From the cleansers to moisturizers, sunscreens to healing ointments. CeraVe provides long-lasting hydration and is suitable for all skin types. Feel the difference with CeraVe, available at your local retailer. Learn more at CeraVe.com. CeraVe, developed by dermatologists, loved by everyone. And are you ready to shape the future of innovation? If your company has an innovation that can take your business to the next level, apply for a grant of up to $75,000. The Government of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago and European Union, IDB Lab and Kariri brings you a call for of the Shaping of the Future of Innovation project. Visit our website at thefuture.kariri.com or call Kariri at 299-0210 for more information. Applications close on the 28th of June. This project is funded by the European Union and the AIDB Lab. That's the IDB Lab. We're coming back with your Lunchtime Doctor.
Strikes, take Panadol Ultra. Panadol Ultra relieves fast 5 types of pain, such as migraine, tooth pain, headache, osteoarthritis pain, and muscle pain. Feel the pain starting to fade while you go back to yourself. Panadol, release starts here. For the strong pain, take Panadol Ultra.
At Standard, nobody beats us on price. Believe it.
Don't let the flu win the battle. Take Panadol Multisymptom that relieves in minutes your cold and flu symptoms. Panadol Multisymptom relieves in minutes 7 cold and flu symptoms, such as blocked or running nose, dry cough, headache, body aches and pains, sore throat, sneezing, and fever. We know today is an important day, so don't let the flu ruin your day. Take Panadol Multisymptom. It relieves cold and flu symptoms in just minutes.
Experience the extra in your care. Extra care body, extra care face, extra care hair, extra care spa.
Don't let
Let the flu win the battle. Take Panadol Multisymptom that relieves in minutes your cold and flu symptoms. Panadol Multisymptom relieves in minutes 7 cold and flu symptoms, such as blocked or running nose, dry cough, headache, body aches and pains, sore throat, sneezing, and fever. We know today is an important day, so don't let the flu ruin your day. Take Panadol Multisymptom. It relieves cold and flu symptoms in just minutes.
Experience the extra in your care. Extra care body, extra care face, extra care hair, extra care spa.
Don't let the flu win the battle. Take Panadol Multisymptom that relieves in minutes your cold and flu symptoms. Panadol Multisymptom relieves in minutes 7 cold and flu symptoms, such as blocked or running nose, dry cough, headache, body aches and pains, sore throat, sneezing, and fever. We know today is an important day, so don't let the flu ruin your day. Take Panadol Multisymptom. It relieves cold and flu symptoms in just minutes.
Cricket fans, get ready! Freedom 106.5 FM is bringing you every thrilling moment of the T20 World Cup live from June 2nd to June 29th. Tune in for exclusive commentary on all of the action, only on Freedom 106.5 FM. With matches playing in the USA and right here in the Caribbean, it's your front row seat to the world's most exciting cricket tournament, the ICC T20 World Cup. Remember, Guardian Media Limited, we are Cricket. T20 World Cup action brought to you by
Shigleisha Limited, Standards, O Snacks, and Casey Candy.
Attention all bakers, doubles vendors, and roti makers. Try our high-quality bromide-free, all-purpose, and whole wheat flour. Low price and conveniently packaged in 2 pounds, 2 kg, 10 kg, and 25 kg bags. For wholesale and retail prices, contact Shigleisha Limited at 665-3336 or 480-8715 or visit us at Warrenville, Canopia. Shigleisha Limited, quality you can trust.
Let's return right now to the lunchtime doctor. Dr. Taylor is in with his special guest as we discuss men's health today.
Yes, and you know, this is Men's Mental Health Month. So you know, we have a very important question. How do we think men feel about getting therapy?
I would love to hear somebody send some questions or answers to this, right? I think, you know, it's one of those things that we do not touch on as often as we should. So I think that's why taking this month to really talk more about it helps, because it's like a lot of times people would not do something unless somebody who looks like them, talks like them, would do it, right? Part of things, they come like if an influencer was to say talk about mental health, yeah. It's a huge thing. For Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, I think it's one of the things we need to really, like I said, have more platforms cover it, sure. Have more discussion around it, so that it becomes something that's less of a stigma, yeah. And more that's normal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think one of the things we need to do too is make aware where men can actually go for the therapy. Some people, when you think of therapy, it scares them. You think you have to go and pay a lot to a doctor, lie down on a couch and tell them all your business. But you know what I mean? Maybe if the barbers are like women right. Would go to the hairdresser.
Yeah, the salon, yeah.
The salon, the nail tech, the salon is a, they always are, they have that support, yeah. Mechanism in there. But maybe men could be the barber shop. Sometimes men might go to a bar, talk, yeah. To the bartender, that kind of thing. But we need to open up more avenues where men know they could go to talk.
Yeah, if you think about the barber shop, right? Good thing. The barbershop is one of those places where what do we talk about when we get to the barbershop? Mm. Most likely it ain't gonna be how hurt you're feeling.
Yeah.
Most likely it won't be how sad you are. It won't, because it's a barbershop. Mm. It's one that's surrounded by the ego as well as, because when I go to get a shape up, I don't know here, but if I go do my beard, you know?
Sometimes I did the man talking to us, so God, hurry up now.
Right, yeah, finish talking to us. Yeah, right. But again, in a way, that's a sense of therapy for us. Yeah. So what we have to do now is insert the conversation or create the environment, because we already have one there, where we could have those type of conversations and not feel bad about it, if you think about it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, so we encourage all our listeners, send your messages, send your WhatsApp to the numbers. The numbers are,
of course, 3061065. You could also send your messages to Sangeet as well as Sky 99.5 FM. Our question here, folks, there was a time as a man I went to report abuse to the police station, and was told, you know, why that's what you come here to do, you know. So how do men, you know, as a man, get over that? I mean, it's something that really hurt me for years, right?
Wow. Yeah, that is an extremely delicate topic and a difficult situation as well, too. I would say that it would be very useful for you to get some sort of talk therapy, because mm-hmm. what that means is you are still holding certain things from that incident or that event. I'm not sure if it's ongoing, mm-hmm. but that's that situation there will definitely have an impact on you negatively. Mm-hmm. So it serves to say that you should have some sort of therapy. You know, there are many different types of therapy, right? You could see a psychologist, you can see a physiologist, a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. and essentially there are other avenues, right? Because we have other types of therapy that they can direct you to. But in essence, you know, you may need to start to reclaim yourself in a sense of you know, your masculinity and things like that, and the therapy will be directed towards that, because that is what you would need to move forward.
Yeah, I think that situation is not a one-off situation, that it happens a lot, especially in places where that is not the norm, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this idea, these conversations are to more or less create the awareness of it. We talk about mental health awareness, so that's part of the awareness. Because the same officer that you're dealing with when you go in there, if he is not on the same page, yeah. he will see it in a different way. Now, if he is,
yeah.
then you have a point. Then you have something to do. And that's yeah. where now sometimes the authority cannot be the only environment that is a safe environment for me. Yeah. So I would actually ask family members and friends to also create the environment, because sometimes it's easier to talk to them mm-hmm. to deal with it than to go to somebody who is also a stranger. So imagine if you go to a stranger, yeah. tell them something, and they shoot you down.
Yeah.
You think you're going back? Most likely right. you won't go back, which leads now to a lot of different mm-hmm. types of depression,
yeah.
and which could also lead to the end result being a negative one
yeah.
for you mm-hmm. and the family. You know,
right, yeah. folks. Don't forget, in just about 3 minutes' time at 12:30, we will have our friends at Dalton Brown joining us. Another question here. I like the idea of the barbershop. I'm also a taxi driver, and I get a lot of, you know, do a lot of counseling in my spare time as well. You won't believe some of the stories that both men and women talk to us taxi drivers about.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a safe place. Conversation. Again, if it's a taxi man, you know, on a regular, you might have more conversation about it that you mean to help other people. Mm-hmm. Again, just creating the environment. I think that's, it comes like a personal trainer. Yeah. Most personal trainers will talk to their client for a while and hear different things that they may not be telling other people. Mm-hmm. So it comes right back to environment. It comes back to changing the culture a little bit of what's acceptable, what's not, and to can get rid of the stigma of being less than if you decide to talk about it.
Yeah, it's true. And the more we talk about it, the more people will become aware
mm-hmm.
and the whole culture will change.
Yeah. Another one is, how does our social media play a part in men's health? I mean, these days you look at some things and it could really affect your mental health as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, there's evidence to say that since social media has risen, the depression rates have been skyrocketing,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're saying it's directly linked to social media. Many different reasons, but one is because you are looking at something that may not be reality,
right.
and comparing yourself with it.
Mm.
You know, that's one of the major things. And how can you avoid that, you know?
Yeah, you look at social media, if you think about that, the first word that comes to my mind is comparison, right? Mm-hmm. I'm comparing your end result to my starting or beginning stage.
Right.
Now, I'm one of those people who my perspective is a little bit different. I look at social media as, okay, yes, it could be a part of the problem, mm-hmm. but it also could be part of the solution.
True.
Why not try ways to utilize social media to promote more of this stuff? And you know what? At the end of the day, we talk about it from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. Most people will see something that's educational, overlook it. Mm-hmm. Most people see something that's entertaining,
mm-hmm.
accept it, absorb it.
Right.
We have to find a way to maybe, mm-hmm. just a shot in the dark, maybe make it entertaining
yeah.
to be going to a therapist, even if it's a funny thing. Some people register different with people, everybody learns differently.
Yeah.
So I think let's not just look at it as a negative mm-hmm. social media platform and comparing, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Let's try and see if we could actually utilize that, because we know what the problem is. It's now just a matter of finding solutions.
True.
You
yes.
know?
Excellent.
All right, so we just have 30 seconds away. Let's bring in our friend some Dalton Brown optometrist right now online, and we do have a segment that we will have some questions asking them as well. Good afternoon, Dalton Brown.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Yeah. Hello. So, welcome to the show. We have Miss Reagan Prosper and Miss yeah. Andrea Carter. They are expert optometrists. And today we are going to discuss Cataract Awareness Month. So I want to make sure that you guys listen in. This is something that commonly affects many of us. So let's start. So what is a cataract?
All right. So a cataract is basically the clouding of the natural lens within our eyes. So this usually happens when the protein in that lens starts to break down and clump together, causing that cloudiness, which also results in that blurry vision that they experience.
So what are some of the common causes of cataracts?
One of the major causes would be aging, as well as smoking, medical issues such as diabetes, hypertension, too much exposure to the sunlight, radiation therapy. So those cancer patients who are doing treatment would be at a greater risk of developing cataract, as well as steroid use.
It's so excellent. What are some of the symptoms of these cataracts?
All right, so in terms of symptoms, it may vary from person to person. So some symptoms can include cloudy or blurry vision, glare or halos around lights, especially at nighttime, double vision. Some also experience a shift in their glasses prescription, so they can become a bit short-sighted as well with the cataract.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed one of the things you said was exposure to sunlight. So then would you recommend sunglasses in that context? Or
yes, 100%. Too much exposure from the sunlight, the UVB rays, tends to increase the risk of developing the cataract.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are there different types of cataracts?
Yes, there are. I'm just going to pass you over to Ms. Prosper.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to talk to you all a bit about the different types of cataracts. So we're going to talk about it broadly, and then I'll go in-depth in one of them. So we're going to start off with age-related cataracts. So these are caused by age. So as we get older, there are some changes that happens within the lens in our eyes naturally, which cause the cataracts. Now, age-related cataracts can then be further classified based on their location in the lens. So we have the nuclear cataract, which is the cloudiness that happens at the center of the lens. Then we have the cortical cataracts, which look like little spokes that starts at the outer part of the lens and slowly moves inward. Then we have the posterior subcapsular cataract, which happens at the back of the lens, so the posterior part of the lens. Then we have another type of cataract. So we just spoke about the age-related cataracts. So we're going to talk about the congenital cataracts. So that actually occurs in children or babies from birth. So I know you're probably thinking, how can a baby get cataracts? So it can be just in their genes. So if other persons in your family were born with cataracts, they would be more at risk. If the mother had some sort of infection during pregnancy, such as chickenpox or polio, that would also increase the risk. If the child is premature, they will be at a greater risk. And then certain drugs, so if the mother takes certain drugs during pregnancy, that would also increase the risk for cataracts in the child. So it's very important that the mother actually goes to the doctor and the doctor prescribes certain medication, because I know they're very limited during pregnancy. Then we have secondary cataracts.
Yeah, so you know, it's very important to have, you see, the maternal screening. That process is so important, because that is the time where you can actually detect certain things that could cause problems to the baby and even to the mother. So, you know, especially when you're pregnant, don't wait until the last minute, you know, 34 weeks to go in. Make sure you go in as early as possible, sometimes, you know, 12 weeks. Or once you find out that you're pregnant, you should go and have your screening done. So,
definitely.
Continue. Yeah.
Then we have the secondary cataracts. So this is actually a very interesting one. So after cataract surgery, you can develop some sort of scar tissue in the eye, which actually affects the vision. So we also call that posterior capsular pacification. Now there's actually a very simple treatment for that, where we do, well, the eye doctor, they do laser, and it's quick and painless, and it helps improve the vision there. And then lastly, there's a traumatic cataract. So if you had some sort of injury to the eyes, some sort of trauma, blunt force trauma to your eyes, you can actually cause a cataract. Well, that can actually cause a cataract to be formed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, wow, that's a lot of different types, huh? So if someone thinks that, you know, maybe they haven't these symptoms, you know, they may have cataracts, or they think that they have a family history of cataracts, what should they do?
Right. So the first thing that you should do is go see an eye care specialist mm-hmm. to get an eye exam to confirm if you actually have cataracts. So everyone, whether you're older, you're younger, should get their eyes checked regularly. Right. Now, if you were diagnosed with cataracts, then they would probably tell you to get your eyes checked every year to monitor that progression in the cataracts there.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of like procedures and stuff, what, like, you know, do you all offer treatment there as well too?
Right. So there is a treatment for the cataracts, and that is surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, the ophthalmologists, they are the ones who do the surgery. So in the right. hospital, you'll get that surgery done.
Right.
And they would usually wait till they call the cataract ripe. Then they would remove the cataract. So they take out that cloudy lens and put a clear fake lens into the eyes, mm-hmm. which usually improves the vision.
Wow. And I know that cataracts is such a common condition here in the tropics, you know. Yeah, we have thousands diagnosed, you know, every year. And yeah, it's very important. So you guys do the screening there at Dalton Brown?
Yes, definitely. So each person, when they come in for an eye exam, we check their vision. So we're going to see if your vision, how reduced it is. Then we'll probably see if you could benefit from glasses. And sometimes when the cataract is so cloudy, it's so dense, the vision actually does not get any better with the glasses. And at that point, we most likely would refer you to the hospital or the ophthalmologist so that they can see if you would be a good candidate for that cataract surgery.
Mm-hmm. So I guess for like the other chronic conditions, to kind of prevent the cataracts from forming or becoming worse, they would have to manage those things, you know, keep all the values in check and stuff.
Definitely. So your diabetes, that's one of the major risk factors, is diabetes. So uncontrolled blood glucose levels, that could actually increase the risk for cataracts.
Right.
Now, also, you want to not smoke. Smoking can also increase that cataracts. So we also want to not drink alcohol and remember to always wear sunglasses, because right. we live in the tropics. It's yeah. impossible to get away from the sun.
True.
So we have to see how best we can protect our eyes, and that is by wearing the sunglasses.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, excellent. You know, we encourage all our callers to call in as well, too. Send your messages to the WhatsApp. You know, I'm not sure if we have any questions.
All right. We'll check in just a short while. But feel free to call us as we're in this studio. 623-0106. 623-0106. And of course, you know the Sangeet WhatsApp line, 343-1061. All right, if you all will have any questions about cataracts. And all of the time, people say they're waiting months for cataract surgery. That's always a big thing that comes up. But in the meantime, while you are waiting on that surgery, what is one to do? And of course, it will depend on the, you know, how serious your situation is.
Yeah, so in the meanwhile, we'll probably see if you can benefit from glasses still. You may be able to benefit a little from the glasses while waiting on that surgery, but it may not be such a great improvement. You might still get that cloudy vision even with your glasses on.
I see. Wow. Well, you know, Miss Prosper and Miss Carter, we thank you so much for joining us. Are there any final words you would like to share with our listeners in terms of cataracts and, you know, screening and all these things? What final recommendations?
Well, yes, thank you for having us. Well, lastly, I'd like to tell all the listeners, everyone, that make sure to get your eyes checked regularly.
Mm-hmm.
That is very key in keeping a healthy eye. Now, we only have one pair of eyes,
right?
Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that we preserve our vision, preserve the health in our eyes, and we could only do that by getting our eyes checked professionally.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Definitely. We did have one more question coming. How often should one get their eyes checked?
Right. So if you're under 18, we'd recommend every year, so annual eye exams. Now, once you're over 18, you're going to do eye exams every 2 years. Now, if you're a bit older, maybe over 50, over 60, we're going to do eye exams every 1 year. If you have cataracts, if you have diabetes or any other health condition that the optometrist sees that it could actually affect your vision, you're going to do eye exams every year.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. Well, folks, you've been listening to a live Zoom interview with our friends at Dalton Brown Optometrists. Remember, they were here to discuss the Cataract Awareness Month. And we say many thanks until we meet again. Dalton Brown Optometrists, of course, always making sure your eyes are intact. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
We continue to discuss men's health.
Yes, you know, and we want to make sure that we can do as much as we can for men, because we know that most of the times, you know, we have the Women's Wednesdays and we have a lot of things geared towards women, but men are sometimes neglected. Unfortunately, you know, so we want to try to see what we can do in raising awareness on certain issues and creating that safe space for men to talk as well too, you know. So as we move forward, so let's talk a little bit about nutrition when it comes to men, you know, health and the mental health as well too.
Yeah, I think we don't understand how important nutrition is, right? Especially if it is your training or not training. Yeah. Just in general, the things that you take into your body and how it affects us, raising like different types of hormone levels in the body, mm-hmm. which affects your mental state, physical state. I think a lot of times nutrition is an overlooked thing in some places just based on what the culture is.
Yeah.
And I love to enjoy, I will enjoy any type of food.
Yeah.
I think it's just not in excess.
Agreed. Yeah, I think everything in moderation, you know, but especially for men, we are looking at certain things like, as far as I'm concerned, testosterone being one of the most important factors for men. This is what makes men masculine. Right. You know, so you want to optimize the testosterone as much as you can. So the number one thing you can do is sleep, right? You want to get proper sleep. Recommendations are between 7 to 9 hours a night. I know that is hard for some people, but studies show that 2 nights lack of sleep is actually equivalent to castration in men. Yeah,
wow.
That is how powerful sleep is and the impact on testosterone. And we don't understand how important testosterone is. It helps us build our muscles. It helps what we call neuroplasticity in terms of the brain. It helps your cognitive function. And it also helps your metabolism too, right? Yeah. Because remember, muscle is the most metabolically active substance we have. So the more muscle you have, the more you're able to burn fat. And the more you're able to burn fat, you're going to keep off the high blood pressure, you're going to keep off the diabetes, the high cholesterol, and all these different things, right? Preventing your strokes.
When your man's sleeping plenty, let him sleep.
Yes. don't wake him up unnecessarily.
Yeah. What about unnecessarily.
Another thing that affects men a lot, prostate cancer.
So prostate cancer is the number one cause of cancer in Trinidad and Tobago and the number one cause of cancer in men. So you understand that, right? The leading type of cancer in the country, mm-hmm. as well as the leading cause of cancer in men, mm-hmm. right? So how important is it? Well, it's extremely important because we have a significant morbidity and mortality attached to it, right? It also happens as you advance in age. Some of the common symptoms would be hesitancy, where you're having difficulty to initiate the urine stream, you're passing urine more frequently, or even having difficulty passing urine. There's also the situation at night, commonly where you may be awakened more than 2 times to pass urine in the night because the prostate is pressing on the bladder and causing irritation and things like this. Some of the last stages would be things like weight loss, loss of appetite, bone pain, and lower back pain. So those are the end. You know, when you get those type of symptoms, you're looking at probably metastatic disease or end stage of cancer. So when we're looking at screening, I mean, we have the basic finger test, right? You know, you
which a lot of men are scared about.
Yeah,
reluctant. Yeah.
And I understand the reluctance. Mm. You know what I mean?
But between the blood and that, which one is the most accurate? Gives you the most accurate result?
Yeah, excellent, because you know the finger test can be subjective. If you go by two different doctors, you may get a different result. The blood test is accurate in seeing that something is happening with the prostate.
Mm.
It cannot diagnose specifically what is happening unless you use it as surveillance. So every year.
So like detection.
Exactly, right? So every year you're doing the test and you say, okay, it has increased. So now what are we going to do? And there are other screening tools you can do too. We have the ultrasound, right? We have biopsy, we have MRI.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are extremely averse to having the rectal test, you can actually do some sort of ultrasound or imaging test, right, which may be non-invasive depending on what you want.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because a lot of men would not know of the different options. It's again based on, you know, if you go to ask a friend about it, what they will tell you.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. The only test you could do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Boy, I went for a prostate exam, and boy.
Boy.
Yeah. I feel different.
Yeah, you understand? But now we have to shy away from that. We need to understand that this is our health, this is our body, right? I mean, there are certain tests, I'm afraid of needles, right?
Mm.
So, but I mean, you still have to have the blood test done. I can't go around life like that, you know?
Yeah. But what about like foods, though?
Yeah.
What type of foods you would recommend?
Mm-hmm. So I would say foods high in omega-3s. That is one. That these are anti-inflammatory, good for your brain as well too. You want to have lean protein. So we could go into the recommendations after, but we talk about white meat. So that is chicken breast, turkey breast, and fish. That is the best, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you could have your beef occasionally, not too much, right? Because that is linked to colon cancer. So try not to have beef or red meat more than once a week. And you want to consume a lot of vegetables, mm-hmm. right? So nutritious, fibrous vegetables, as well as the green leafy vegetables. They are good for your roughage, passing stool, you know, and those are the best things.
Mm-hmm. What about alcohol? How does alcohol affect men's health?
Well, that's quite interesting, right? Alcohol, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the worst things you can do, right? But, you know, we have people like to take something now and then, so everything in moderation.
Right.
But alcohol can affect your testosterone as well, too, by affecting the enzymes that convert testosterone into estrogen, right? And that is why sometimes you may see people who drink alcohol constantly, in terms of men, they actually develop the man boobs, right? That's called gynecomastia, because it can affect the liver, which can affect the hormones in terms of the conversion rates and stuff.
Yeah, part of the fitness part two would be the fact that the alcohol will now, it goes against you building muscle.
Yes.
Right, as well, because, you know, it's not something that helps with building muscle. So that's another part, which means you're burning less fat.
Yeah.
Also, if you look at the basics of it, if you're drunk and hungover, let's just as it is, the next day, how likely are you going to go to the gym?
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of takes you. So I think a lot of times we don't look at what these things are attached to or connected to, because everything is connected to each other.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the excess of alcohol normally gets you behind the eight ball the next day. So it doesn't put you ahead of the day. It actually puts you behind, which means you may miss a session tomorrow, which may lead to another session being missed.
And it's also linked to depression too.
Yeah.
And substance abuse, other types of drugs, which we know the end result of those things.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a man and you don't drink, you know, because I don't drink.
I don't drink either.
Sometimes when you base what you want to drink there, but I'll take a bottle of water, boy.
Yeah.
Water? Why nine, buy nine, boy, boy? It'll make you feel like less of a man just because you don't drink.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
You pay pressure, boy.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, you know, but you should be able to stand up for yourself, and if you're around people who respect you, they'll respect your choices.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm one of those, I'd already drink when I go anywhere too, and it's tough because, you know, with the eating a certain type of way, that's one thing, and then when you go out with people who normally drink, it's tough to ask a man for water. If you ask a man for water, he'd be like, you sure?
Yeah, sure.
The worst thing is when you go out, when you go out with a female, and they bring the order, she drinking, they put it by you, and you think, you know, you're not switch.
You know? Yeah.
But things like that, with the peer pressure, you know, the President, being a man, they just see a man as doing certain things, especially with the drinking, the smoking, the this, the that. You know, you feel so pressured into doing things. You have to be mentally strong as well there too. That's another aspect of the thing.
Yeah, I like the fact you said that too, because, you know, we were touching on something also where it come like, we talk about the Wednesdays and we talk about women in the spa. You know, I've ventured into a part of doing with skincare, which is weird for a man to say, hey, I own a skincare company, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, self-care seems to have a gender in terms of only women will do self-care.
Yeah.
So you find a lot of men doing it now too. With the skin, is like, one of the things is, again, they feel good, look good, that kind of thing. You want to take care of your body too for long term. You touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
The long term effect of it is what matters, because if you continue to do this over time, it becomes that routine that you don't have to really get adjusted to. And when you fall off of the routine, you quickly want to get back onto it for most people.
Yeah.
And that's another thing too, like, you know, taking care of yourself, like men shouldn't be afraid to do stuff with their skin. Now I don't personally have the time to do the whole skincare routine, but there's different ways, just like there are different ways to do the exam, that you gotta actually put that into your schedule.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with a man going for a little manicure, pedicure now and again.
You know? You know, times change, you know, you don't have to be looking rugged and all these things. You know, but how important is a skincare routine for a man?
I think we have to understand that the body itself and how the body is with the skin, like the different types of skin types. Men may say, yeah, I have real oily skin, and they don't know how to identify what to take, right?
Yeah.
Again, it comes back to education. For us, we deal with mostly, like, you know, dry skin, oily skin, combination skin, sensitive skin.
Right.
You know, there are some people that can't use certain things, and then they don't use anything at all.
Okay.
Right? You know, we grew up knowing, hey, wash your face and you're out.
Mm,
you know,
true.
Before bed, do you wash your face? Do you not wash? Nobody care about that.
And now, soap,
yeah, soap, yeah, right? But I think it's important, because, again, we're back into the mental space of stuff where that also helps you to feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as it is, men like compliments.
Right.
If somebody say, hey, you have nice skin, or you have a nice beard, it helps you to boost that thing. And again, it's not from a vain aspect, but an encouragement aspect. And I think that's another point of the men's mental health awareness thing we should touch on.
Very true. Yeah.
That's well. Confidence. How important is a man to be confident? Confident in a man. And yes, within yourself. What you're doing, how you're looking, feeling, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it promotes a lot of things. Clarity, no confusion. You walk into a room, you don't have to feel as everybody looking at you in that type of way. You more or less have to dictate the room. Now, the confidence part of it, again, is also tied into the environments that you put yourself in and people you have around you.
Yeah.
It is a key factor to men feeling like, I can accomplish, you know, and that I cannot.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, agreed. You know, confidence is so important, because it will determine as well how people interact and react to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because confidence is a game changer. You know, a lot of women, you find a lot of women with men who may not, quote unquote, look handsome, but what do they have? Exactly.
Yeah.
And yesterday we celebrated Father's Day. I was looking at something where they say Father's Day is one of the worst holidays. Because, you know, I mean, you know, really and truly, in terms of, in comparison to Mother's Day.
Yeah,
Mother's
Day
is like Christmas.
True.
And Father's Day is like a Monday.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, you know, big
true.
Comparison. There's no emphasis at all on Father's Day. But yet still, we want good men. We want good fathers.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we as men, you know, not something soft to be mentioned in that, but how do we as men, you know, overlook something like that? When there are, it's like, you know, there are no good fathers out there, but there are good fathers out there. There are good men out there. There are even some men who are taking care of children that are not even their own.
Yes.
You know, but yet still, Father's Day is like, you know, oh God, Father's Day, okay now.
Wow. Hey, I would say though, you know, fathers for me is a big deal, and at home it's a big deal because of how they make it a big deal.
Right.
So we come right back to the environments, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the things that you cannot dispute, Father's Day versus Mother's Day. If we were to go down that road, that would be a long conversation. That would be a whole next station, right?
Yeah.
However, it would be dependent on people that you have around you. If you have somebody that really appreciates what you do, Father's Day should be every day.
Mm-hmm.
However, if this is a specific day we're going to celebrate it, why not celebrated more? And I think that also helps men to feel valued, which is another thing. Like, you feel like it may be soft to say you want to feel valued, or you want to feel a certain type of way. That shouldn't be the case. I have seen a progression with it. I have seen some more, like, we always would joke and say, okay, Father's Day, you get a tie or a drill. Right, Mother's Day, you get taken out for lunch and dinner. I give a good shout out to my son, took us out for Father's Day on Saturday, because Sunday he was kind of, you know, involved in some stuff, and that made us feel good. It was three generations going for lunch. we had time to talk. We had time to WhatsApp. We couldn't talk about in front of other people and get advice from my father. I could give advice to my son. So I think it's right back to environments, man. Just creating the environment. And this is where family and friends come in and loved ones come in. You all are very important to creating that environment for the man in general.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's very important, you know, actually men, they need value too, right? And they need to feel valued. And people may find this very weird, right? But like women are born with a certain inherent value in terms of their beauty, how they look, right? Men more have to work for that in terms of life. Like, they have to make something of themselves to be seen as valued and to actually attract a mate, etc., etc.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, one of the places some men may feel undervalued is in the home, especially, let's say, you're not working, you're not a working man, you ain't making enough money, that kind of thing. How does a man, you know, who not making enough money, you know, give himself, why is a man still, and you had to do what it is, you had to do, you know, maybe you're not the big, you're supposed to be the breadwinner in the home, but you're not.
Yeah.
How does that affect a man, especially your mental health?
You know what I would say? This is a very touchy topic, right? But I would say that society appears to be engineered to make this happen. Right? It's very controversial, but that's my opinion.
I have no problem being with the Oprah. I can be. I'm good with that. You know, but not all men like that. You know?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good point, boy. And I'll tell you, that is a very, very good point. I feel because it's value, right? You know, we know as men we have to provide and protect, and that was the old ways. It's 2024. There's different ways you could provide and bring value to something. A lot of times too, I would tell you, you know, you start with controversial, I would say choose the right partner. Choose the right person that understands, because you know, men are not just projects or potential. They just provide value in certain types of ways as normal. Choose the right partner, because this is somebody that's supposed to help not complete you, but compliment you. You want somebody to compliment you, and there are ways that we can provide in different ways and add more value. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. Now, it does matter a lot. So it's just about choosing the right partner and having a lot more conversations about it.
I agree with that.
We have about 15 seconds again, so we wrap it up for today. The very good discussion, men's health on today, Monday. We should do this every Monday.
I find so too.
I mean, it should be a Monday thing, but you know, we have to.
All right, guys, thank you very much. I mean, name
appreciate
again,
it. God.
God, man. Nice to meet you there, God.
You too, sir.
And of course, Dr. Taylor. See you again tomorrow inside the Lunchtime Doctor.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.